Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running, with podcast number 41, Minimalist Running Shoes. This is the second of three podcasts about running shoes. Last time we talked about buying shoes, and then we discussed terminology. If you haven't listened to that podcast, I encourage you to listen to that first because it does introduce the whole concept of minimalist shoes. In the last few years, minimalist shoes have been the rage. And there is considerable debate about whether going minimalist is advisable. Today, my goal is to disseminate information about these shoes to help you in deciding whether transitioning into minimalist or more minimalist shoes is wise for you. One issue is that there are degrees of minimalism. The true minimalist shoes, or the most minimalist shoes, are those that have almost no sole and have zero drop. True minimalist, completely minimalist, would be barefoot, right? Now, in the last episode, I talked about heel height. Just to review, that is referred to as drop or heel-toe drop. That refers to the difference between the height of the heel off the ground and the height of the forefoot off the ground. With zero drop shoes, the heel and forefoot are exactly the same distance from the ground. That is the most natural because when we're barefoot, of course, our heel and forefoot are both touching the ground. For years, the trend was towards more and thicker heels because it was thought that more heel, because it provided more cushioning, was a good thing. But the reason that was considered to be needed was to cushion the heel strike. We now know that this may not have been a good thing. Personally, after much reading and personal experience, I don't think it was a good idea and normally wouldn't be a good idea for anyone who is not a heel striker. I'll go so far as to say it was a bad idea because I think it promoted heel striking and eliminated the natural deterrent to heel striking, which is pain on striking. If you are a blatant heel striker and you have shoes that have no cushioning, it's going to hurt. The thing is that many people, myself included, feel that for most people, landing on the heel is unnatural and a bad idea because when you strike with your heel, with your heel striking first, with your ankle at a right angle to your leg, your knee is locked out and your leg is straight. Think about it. This means there is no give. Your knee cannot bend. It cannot be a shock absorber, which it otherwise could be. So all the striking force travels right up the leg to the knee and hip, a much more jarring movement. It's also a braking motion. That slows you down and it throws your body backward. And as we talked about in the podcast about form, ideally your body should have a slight forward lean from the ankles. That's impossible if you're heel striking. Another issue with heel striking is that it's much less stable. Think about it. When just your heel is striking the ground, there is no control. But if you land midfoot with your whole foot striking the ground at one time, that's very stable. So midfoot striking, I think, is best for most people. In the show notes, I'll link to some excellent videos. One of these videos uses a split screen. The same woman is shown on each half of the screen. And each time, the video was shot from the same angle, and in both shots, she is running on the same treadmill at the same speed. The difference between each side of the screen is that on the left, she is heel striking. On the right, it was after 2 weeks of practicing landing midfoot. The difference is quite striking, and the doctor, a Dr. Silverman, does a good job of describing and analyzing the difference between the two. Please watch it because it's compelling. A second link will go to a video that shows a Dr. Mark Cucuzella running, and it explains good running form. I have never seen a better video demonstrating and explaining running form. He's running barefoot in the video because it's easier for him to demonstrate that way. I actually recommend watching that video on a regular basis. It really helps you to understand not only how to land, but why that works better. Not only how your foot should hit the ground, but about the recoil of your foot, all different things. So just watch it, and I think you'll love it. Now, let's see what this has to do with minimalist shoes. Traditional shoes tend to have much thicker heels, as I said before, and less cushion under the forefoot because they were designed for heel strikers. That means the shoes generally have a high drop. With shoes like that, it's difficult not to heel strike. If the heel is that high, it's hard not to hit with the heel first. So those shoes actually promote heel striking. That doesn't mean they'll make a heel striker out of someone who's not a heel striker. I've seen many midfoot strikers in traditional shoes. But it's important to consider that if a runner is a heel striker, and that runner's wanting to transition to improved form with the midfoot strike, that's probably going to be much more difficult to attain in traditional shoes with a greater drop. One of the early minimalist shoes was the Vibram Five Fingers. I'm not sure if they were the first, but many other makes and models have exploded onto the scene since. Some people wear this type of shoe with no problem. My definition of true minimalist shoes would be that they have zero drop and only enough sole to provide some protection from rocks, roots, glass, etc. I would call these barefoot shoes, which are the most minimal and the most minimal of the minimal shoes. So to clarify, this is the way I explain it. A traditional running shoe has more than 8 millimeter drop. I would say a minimalist shoe has less than 8 millimeter drop, and a barefoot shoe has zero drop and no cushion. Now let's talk about the shoe with 8 millimeter drop. That shoe may still have a thick, highly cushioned sole. I would call that a step down from traditional. So it's a step toward minimalist because it's got less drop than most traditional shoes. But it's only a step towards minimalist. It's still, I think, a good first step, though. Many shoe manufacturers are making zero drop and 4 millimeter drop shoes, but they often also have shoes that bridge the gap between that and traditional. This means you can actually gradually step down from a high drop by switching to 8 millimeter, then with the next purchase, maybe switch to 4 and so on. But even when you get down to a zero drop, you still need to consider how much cushion you want. Clearly, there's a lot to consider, and there are many options. Some people will want to move into zero drop or close to it, but will not be interested in eliminating their cushioning. That, then, is not truly going minimal, but it's certainly being influenced by minimalist thinking, and it's much more minimalist than a traditional shoe. Many, if not most, minimalist shoe lovers are wanting the feel of the ground, though. This actually helps your running and allows the muscles in your feet to work more. And that's a good thing. Why let our feet get lazy? Seriously, if you don't use the muscles in your feet, if they're not strong, you're much more likely to get injured and your form won't be as good. It's not a good idea to let our shoes do what our feet should do and can do. Here's a quote from an article by Jim Hixon, titled, the title of the article is it's on the Natural Running website. I'll link to it in the show notes. When combined with the third characteristic, cushioning, the traditional over-supported shoe immobilizes, destabilizes, and desensitizes the foot, making it weaker, less responsive, and less capable of doing the work that it is required to do. Again, that's I don't know if he's a doctor or not, but that was written by Jim Hixon, and it's on the Natural Running Center website. So please, I'll link to that, and it's a great article, so I suggest you go to that website if you're interested in minimalist shoes and read the whole article. While this minimalist shoe movement is relatively recent, consider that coaches have been having their runners run barefoot on safe grass areas for many years. They do this perhaps once a week for a mile or less, just enough to have their runners strengthen their feet. So this really is not a new idea at all. Anyway, it's likely many different shoes will work for you. But I implore you not to be one of the people who thinks that barefoot shoes are crazy. Just because you don't wear them, don't assume they're a bad idea for everyone. I have so often heard people say, those have to be bad for your feet. Consider that it is virtually impossible to run in barefoot shoes in poor form. They require the runner to run lightly to avoid a heavy pounding gait, and that's a good thing. It's also faster, by the way. When people say that they think running shoes, that they think barefoot shoes are bad, I think it means they're ill-informed. Don't let that be you. Whether you run in minimalist shoes or not, please respect people who do. They're running in them because they want to do what's best for their running and their body. Another thing, many people say, I can't run in minimalist shoes because I'm too heavy. This is a myth. I'll link to another article from the Natural Running Center website. This one was written by Nicholas A. Campitelli, a podiatrist. It dispels 10 myths about barefoot running. I'll just mention two here. One is that you can't run barefoot if you're a heavier runner. And another is that you can't run barefoot if you have knee pain. That's another excellent article. I think the takeaway here is that it's not for everyone, but it might be for you if you transition carefully and correctly. Going minimalist or even transitioning closer to it will mean improving your form, and that's always a good thing. The big problem with minimalist shoes, and yes, there is a big problem as I see it, is that so many people get injured because they don't transition into them gradually enough. Everyone should expect to take months to transition into minimalist barefoot type shoes. While I don't think people should wear more shoe than they need, I would discourage anyone from venturing into barefoot type shoes without first seeking the advice of their podiatrist, because when a runner who shouldn't wear minimalist shoes tries to wear them, and when a runner transitions too quickly, whether into true minimalist shoes or into shoes with a minimal drop, it can lead to injury that can last for a long time. My feeling is that barefoot-type shoes, the ones with no cushion, should only be worn off-road. Think about it. Our feet weren't meant to run without a raised heel. I didn't say that right. Our feet were meant to run without a raised heel. But I don't think they were meant to run on hard, man-made surfaces. So, personally, I embrace the idea of minimal heel drop, if you have feet that can adjust to that. But I don't embrace the idea of barefoot or zero cushion except for trail running. And depending on the trails, you may still need a bit of protection. One huge consideration is that the decision to transition to minimal shoes should not be taken lightly. First, you need to determine if it's realistic for you. There are considerations. The first thing I'd recommend is to read all the articles in the show notes. One describes a test. That's right, a test to determine if your feet are strong enough and flexible enough. Definitely take the test. Everyone, I think, should do that. If you pass the test, well, that's one step anyway. If your feet don't pass the test, then that's one thing to start working on. Whether you ever plan to transition to minimalist shoes or not, you'll benefit by having stronger, more flexible feet. So give it some attention. Another thing is to strengthen your core and all your other muscles, in fact, and work on shorter steps and faster cadence if you haven't already done this. Remember, I said minimalist shoes are only for people with good form, and I said the decision to wear minimalist shoes shouldn't be taken lightly. That's because most people will have some work to do to get ready. Remember, I said you don't want to have lazy feet. Well, minimalist shoes will require that your muscles and the anatomy of your foot perform the way it was designed to do. But you have to make sure your feet are ready to handle the increased responsibility. You'll need to be diligent in working on improving their form, your running form. And you'll need to be diligent about following a reasonable transition period. Let me tell you a story. I was at a race chatting with a runner who just joined my coaching program. I noticed he was wearing minimalist shoes, and I asked him how he liked them. He said he did, but it was his first day wearing them. They were brand new. This shocked me, because I would think the person who sold him the shoe would have spelled out an appropriate transition plan, and that would not have been to go out and run a race in them, not even a 5K, not at first. I explained the extreme need for him to transition into them, gently, gradually. I said, "Are you running tomorrow?" "Yes," he said. He had planned a 10-mile run. I said, "Do not wear them. Even if they feel fine after today," and by they I mean his feet, he should wait at least 46 hours before wearing them again. This was a Saturday. The next time I heard from this guy was Tuesday when he came to our workout. He wanted the name of a podiatrist because he was having extreme foot pain. Of course, I said, "Did you wear those shoes again?" Yes, he had worn them for his long run on Sunday. And then, yeah, he wore them again for his shorter run on Monday. So by Tuesday, he was hurting pretty good. All of a sudden, he saw the doctor and he had a stress fracture. Now that's not the fault of the shoes. That was user error. If you're not willing to be careful and take your time to prepare your feet, perfect your form, and transition gradually, then minimalist shoes are not for you. The trouble is that people get excited about their minimalist shoes as if they're a new toy, and they want to start right off wearing them too much. What I like very much about the minimalist shoe movement is that it has started a revolution in the running shoe industry away from shoes with thick heels and maximum structure. In previous years, I think many people assumed that maximum support and the greatest degree of cushioning would have to be best. You know, the old more is better mindset. I think that's almost never true, and so it is with running shoes. Let's talk about those thick heels that are so common in traditional shoes. When distance running first became popular, I think it was in the early 80s, maybe the 70s, I remember my brother, who was the first runner in our family, buying all these crazy-looking running shoes. Those shoes were like nothing I'd ever seen. After all, I grew up in the age of PF Flyers, Keds, and Red Ball Jets. If you've never heard of those brands, well, congratulations. It means you're much younger than I am. The earliest running shoes didn't have nearly the padding of today's shoes, and the heel wasn't that thick, chunky size that we see in today's more traditional shoes. But running shoe companies needed to improve their shoes from year to year, and they had to have selling points. When they added more and more padding, that was a selling point, or at least one of them, and most of us bought into that thinking. The other thing they increased was structure. Again, the more is better idea. They tried to make it easier on the foot. But what they ended up doing was creating lazy feet. By that I mean that the muscles in the foot didn't have to work as much. But that's not a good thing, as I said before. We want all the muscles in the foot to stay strong. That helps prevent injury. We all know what happens to a muscle that doesn't get used. Why would we want that? How could that possibly be desirable? Nowadays, much more attention is focused on proper form and what really is best for our feet and our running. Chris McDougall's book, Born to Run, helped this movement along. There's much more to this whole train of thought, but I'll leave that discussion to the experts in the articles to which I'll link in the show notes. Suffice to say that minimalist shoes have influenced and continue to influence running in a big way. And one comment about that is that I think it behooves all runners to take the test to check their feet. Don't you want to know if your feet are strong as they could be? I suggest everyone take that test and then start doing the recommended exercises, whether you have any desire to ever go to less shoe or not. It's just good to know. In fact, I recommend just Googling foot exercises for runners. I really believe that strengthening your feet is extremely beneficial to all running. What I tried to provide here was an overview, an illuminating discussion of just how much there is to consider as regards running shoes, especially here today, minimalist running shoes. The takeaway for you is that no two runners are alike, and that prescribing one specific shoe is probably a bad idea for any coach. In fact, I guarantee it is. It's not good for any running store employee. What makes more sense is for that person to recommend a certain type of shoe and provide the education of which brands and models would be of that type, and therefore appropriate options for that specific runner. I really prefer that all my runners see a podiatrist as early in their running career as possible. What I want you to do is to realize that there might be half a dozen shoes that would work really well for you, but you may need to go through a trial and error period and experiment with many shoes to find out what works best. Just keep at it and try to find a good podiatrist. If you don't have that option, at least make sure you see a podorthist. If you have any kind of pain, discomfort, or foot issue, without question, see a podiatrist. But don't Google it and go to whomever is closest. No. Go to a respected running store or running coach and ask for a recommendation of a podiatrist who is highly recommended in the running community. Now, just one more thing. I want to share with you, before leaving this topic, I want to read to you a paragraph from an article in the October 5th, 2012 issue of Competitor Magazine. The article is titled, Dean Karnazes, Three Tips for Injury-Proofing Your Body. One of his tips regards minimalist shoes. I'll link to the full article in the show notes. I 100% agree with him on all counts. Now, for any of you who do not know who Dean Karnazes is, let me just say that he's a legendary runner and author of the book Ultramarathon Man. If you don't know him, let me just share two items from his incredible resume. One, he ran 3,000 miles across the United States from Disneyland to New York City in 75 days, running 40 to 50 miles per day. A second interesting fact, amazing fact, he did 50 marathons in 50 states on 50 consecutive days. So, as I mentioned, in this article, he gives three tips for avoiding injury. And number three is avoiding overbuilt running shoes. So these are his words. This is what I'm reading from the article. I tell runners to listen to everyone but follow no one, Karnazes said. He recalled that as a high school runner back in the 1970s, he would run to the beach, stash his shoes in the bushes, and run barefoot in the sand. Quote, minimalism is nothing new to me, he said, talking about the new wave of barefoot simulator running shoes on the market. I remember meeting with Nike 10 years ago, and they brought me in to see all of their new medial posts and other widgets and gadgets. I said, you're overbuilding these shoes. Just let the foot be the foot. You're causing injuries because you're forcing these people with poor biomechanics into a good biomechanical position, but their bodies aren't aligned for that. What happens is they end up compensating with a weird gait because they're maligned. When Nike came out with the Free, they hit the nail on the head. That said, Karnazes counsels runners to be careful when jumping into a minimalist shoe. Try it and see if it works, he advises, but I don't think we're engineered to run barefoot on the asphalt. His ultimate advice for starting on the path towards stronger, more injury-proof feet, start by adding some foot-strengthening work into your routine with occasional short barefoot runs in the sand or on the grass. Plus, use time at home as a conditioner. When you get home, walk around your house all day in bare feet. That's good stuff, and I really like his advice. I encourage you to read the whole article. Again, I'm linking to it in the show notes. That's all for now. There's much more to discuss regarding shoes, but we'll save that for the next time, and that'll be the last one in the series on running shoes. If you enjoyed this podcast, I would love it if you would give it a rating on iTunes. That will get it moved up higher in the category, which means more people searching for running podcasts will likely find it. And I have an announcement. Within the next several weeks, I'll be launching a new and improved website, a new and improved Mojo for Running site. And on it will be three programs which you'll have the opportunity of purchasing. There will be a program for non-runners who want to become runners, a program called Simply Run Faster, and a third program titled Your First Half Marathon. So watch for that. Now today's quote. It's a short one. Live like someone left the gate open. I love that one. That's perfect.